Yenyonyato bhagavata prasajya sabhajayante mama paurushani.
Never eka atmata, merging into oneness. May my Srihayanti,
they desire.
Kechit,
any
Matpada Seva,
the
service of my lotus feet,
Abhidataha,
engaged in
Matiha,
endeavoring to attain me.
Yea,
those who
anyonyataha
mutually
bhagavataha
pure devotees
prasajya
assembling
sabhajayante
glorify
mama
my
Paurushani,
glorious activities.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada.
A pure devotee who is attached to the activities of devotional service and who always engages in the service of my lotus feet never desires to become one with me. Such a devotee who is unflinchingly engaged always glorifies my pastimes and activities. Purport. There are five kinds of liberation stated in the scriptures. One is to become one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or to forsake one's individuality and merge into the Supreme Spirit. This is called ekatmatam. A devotee never accepts this kind of liberation. The other four liberations are to be promoted to the same planet as God, Vaikuntha. Two, associate personally with the Supreme Lord. To achieve the same opulence as the Lord. And to attain the same bodily features as the Lord. A pure devotee, as will be explained by Kapila Muni, does not aspire for any of the five liberations. He especially despises as hellish the idea of becoming one with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati, a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, said, Kaivalyam Narakayate, the happiness of becoming one with the Supreme Lord, which is aspired for by the Mayavadis, is considered hellish. That oneness is not for pure devotees. There are many so-called devotees who think that in the conditioned state we may worship the Personality of Godhead, but that ultimately there is no personality. They say that since the Absolute Truth is impersonal, one can imagine a personal form of the impersonal Absolute Truth. For the time being, that as soon as one becomes liberated, the worship stops. That is the theory put forth by the Mayavad philosophy. Actually, the impersonalists do not merge into the existence of the Supreme Person, but into his personal bodily luster, which is called the Brahma Jyoti. Although that Brahma Jyoti is non-different from his personal body, that sort of oneness, merging into the bodily luster of the Personality of Godhead, is not accepted by a pure devotee, because the devotee engages in greater pleasure than the so-called pleasure of merging into his existence. The greatest pleasure is to serve the Lord. Devotees are always thinking about how to serve him. They are always designing ways and means to serve the Supreme Lord, even in the midst of the greatest obstacles of material existence. The Mayavadis accept the description of the pastimes of the Lord as stories. But actually they are not stories, they are historical facts. Pure devotees accept the narrations of the pastimes of the Lord not as stories but as absolute truth. The words Mama Paurushani, Mama Paurushani are significant. Devotees are very much attached to glorifying the activities of the Lord, whereas the Mayavadis cannot even think of these activities. According to them, the absolute truth is impersonal. Without personal existence, how can there be activity? The impersonalists take the activities mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, and other Vedic literatures as fictitious stories, and therefore they interpret them most mischievously. They have no idea of the personality of Godhead. They unnecessarily poke their noses into the scripture and interpret it in a deceptive way in order to mislead the innocent public. The activities of Mayavad philosophy are very dangerous to the public. And therefore, Lord Chaitanya warned us never to hear from any Mayavadi about any scripture. They will spoil the entire process, and the person hearing them will never be able to come to the path of devotional service. Will never be able to come to the path of devotional service to attain the highest perfection, or will be able to do so only after a very long time. It is clearly stated by Kapila Muni that bhakti activities or activities in devotional service are transcendental to mukti. This is called panchama purusharta. Generally, people engage in the activities of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. And ultimately, they work with an idea that they are going to become one with the Supreme Lord, mukti. But bhakti is transcendental to all these activities. The Srimad Bhagavatam, therefore, begins by stating that all kinds of pretentious religion is completely eradicated from the Bhagavatam. Ritualistic activities for economic development and sense gratification, and after frustration and sense gratification, the desire to become one with the Supreme Lord are all completely rejected in the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is especially meant for the pure devotees who always engaged in Krishna consciousness in the activities of the Lord and always glorify these transcendental activities. Pure devotees worship the transcendental activities of the Lord in Vrindavan, Dwaraka, and Mathura, as they are narrated in the Srimad Bhagavatam and other Puranas. The Mayavadi philosophers completely reject them as stories, but actually they are great and worshipable subject matters, and thus are relishable only for devotees. That is the difference between a Mayavadi and a pure devotee. This Mayavad, the Prabhupada is talking about in this purport, he's talking about it in a lot of his purports. He talks about it a lot. It is very pernicious. What did we were talking about the word pernicious?
Yes.
And the actual meaning is?
Sorry?
The actual understanding of the meaning of the word?
It means that something appears to be beneficial, but it's actually very harmful.
It appears to be beneficial, or at least maybe harmless.
Harmless, yeah.
Appears to be harmless, but is much worse than it looks. That's pernicious. So the problem is, the Mayavad is
deceptive. The presentation of Mayavad is very deceptive. Lord Mahadev, the husband of Prakriti, of Maya, of the illusory potency that bewilders everybody. Yoga Maya Samavrita. Naham Pakashak Sarvasya Yoga Maya Samavrita. Budo Yam Nabi Jahanati. So everyone bewildered by Lord Shiva's wife, Maya. He's her husband. He is the master of illusion. If you want someone to create a deception, it's like, you know, you can advertise this, you know, children want to go see the Jadugar magician. But the biggest magician is Lord Mahadev. He can create the most bewildering illusion. And no one will suspect the illusion. So he was Mayavada Mashachastram Kachanam Bhaura Nishyate Moyaiva Vinita Devi Kalao Brahmana Murtina. This is Lord Mahadev's explanation to his wife in the Padma Purana. In other verses too, they describe how Lord, he tells Parvati that Krishna, Govinda, ordered me to do this. Don't blame me for this Mayavad. Krishna asked me to do it. So that the unwanted, this Varna Sankara, could be increased in Kali Yuga. So many materialistic souls want to take birth in Kali Yuga and have free reign for sense gratification. No pious kings to stop them. No brahmanas to teach the people that they should not want sense gratification. So the living entities who want to indulge in a human body in animalistic sense gratification, they want to live like animals but live in human bodies. They want to have beautiful human bodies with fine intelligence and use them like animals. So they can take birth as Varna Sankara in Kali Yuga. And in order to facilitate all these prospective Varna Sankaris who are on the waiting list, Lord Shiva teaches the Mayavad philosophy to, just like every civilization has its philosophical underpinnings. What do we call that philosophy? Anyway, the philosophy of the British empiricists and utilitarians. This is underlying American so-called democracy. Now, the idea of the state, the government, represents the people. Not that the people are slaves of the government, of the state, but the state only exists to serve the people. That is coming from the British philosophers of the 18th century. Hobbes.
John Locke.
Locke, Hobbes, Berkeley, these guys, you know, made up some ideas on the basis of which we established the great American civilization. Similarly, every civilization has its philosophical foundation. So the civilization of nonsense, the basic philosophical foundation of it is this Mayavad philosophy. That we are the supreme. And therefore the material entity is for our enjoyment. The Christians had to have God tell them in the Bible, you know, tell Adam that this Garden of Eden is for your enjoyment. Well, we don't have that. We don't have a Bible. So we have to make up a Mayavad philosophy. That we are the Lord of Maya. We can enjoy. We don't, no restrictions. Everything's one. We are independent. We don't have to actually bow down to anybody. We can do worship, but it's for selfish purposes. And when we've achieved our perfection, we can throw the deity away. We can kill our guru after we've made use of him. If we got our city, then we can murder our guru. Prabhupada was walking with Baba Nanda Maharaj and other disciples in Mayapur.
and they were walking, taking it, they were going over up to the road, over a dike, and Bhavananda Maharaj took Prabhupada's hand to help him on up to the higher road. Prabhupada accepted that, but then when they got to the top road, Prabhupada pushed Bhavananda away. He says, "Now I don't need you anymore." Just like the Mayavadis. They get liberation with the help of their guru, then they kick the guru away, or kill him. Because this is the pernicious idea. Lord Mahadev is the most, he can be the most deceptive. If you want someone to teach a deceptive philosophy, then engage Lord Mahadev. Nobody can see through his deception. He can fool everybody. So he teaches this Ashat Shastra, as he confesses to his wife. It is bogus, invalid philosophy. It's no different in substance than the Buddhist nihilism, Shunyavada. Nirvisheshavada and Shunyavada are not much different. Yes, there is Brahman, the Absolute, but it has no form, it has no name. So it is akinchitkara. If you cannot know it, you cannot name it. Astitvam gayatvam amideyatvam. If it exists, you can know it. If you can know it, you can name it. That is the realistic idea of Nyaya. Astitvam gayatvam amideyatvam. If it exists, you should be able to give it a name. I'm sorry, you should be able to know it. If you can't know it, then how does it exist? And if you can know it, it should have a name. Or you can make a name. But the Absolute Truth, Brahman, can't be named, can't be known. This nirvishesha. So, what's the use of his existing? It has no substantial reality. It's as good as nothing. Nirvishesha Vada and Shunyavada are substantially practically the same. Prachanam Bauram. The Mayavad, the nirvishesha Vad, is no different really than Bauda Mata. Mayavadihita Devi. I teach this in Kali Yuga, and everybody's fooled by it. Almost everybody's fooled by it. So it's pernicious. It disguises itself as religion. The Mayavadis pretend that they accept, that they promote devotion to Lord Vishnu. Of course, they say you can worship. Shankara promoted the policy of Panchopasana. You can worship Vishnu if you like, or Surya, or Devi, or Ganesh. Who's the fifth one?
Mata.
Devi, I mentioned.
Brahma.
Yes.
Mata.
But this was taught by Adi Shankara. This is Panchopasana. So you can worship Vishnu. You can study. You can have Bhagavat Saptaha. You can be a Mayavadi and be the Bhagavat Saptaha, yes. Speaking Bhagavat Saptaha. Glorifying Krishna, because very nice. He is Saguna Brahman. If you realize Krishna, that's halfway realizing the Absolute Truth. Krishna is the Absolute Truth covered by Maya. When their idea is, this is why we call them Mayavadis. We say this world is Maya. They say it's Maya. So then we should all be Mayavadis. We should all be called Mayavadis. But we call them Mayavadis because they say not only this world is Maya, but Krishna is also Maya. God is Maya. When Brahman, the complete total of Brahman, is covered over by Sattva-gun, that is Ishvara. When he's covered by various modes, when Brahman is covered by various modes and only small pieces of Brahman are covered, that's Jiva. But when the whole Brahman is covered by pure Sattva, that is Ishvara, Parameshvara, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, the best kind of Maya. So that's Mayavada. We call it Mayavada. If you say that Krishna is Maya, you can the ignorant fools can worship Krishna, the sentimental bhaktas can worship Krishna and gradually approach liberation, and then they can kick Krishna in the face and kick him away. That's pernicious. It pretends to be devotion, and it's really the worst offense. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's opinion, Mayavad Hoya Aporadi, that the Mayavadis are the worst offenders. The atheist will say, I don't believe in any God. Ridam kritva kritam pide. Yava jivet sukam jivet. Basmi bhutasya jivet dehasya kimpunar agamogave. Go into debt if you have to, but obtain ghee. Yeah. He doesn't say, enjoy, go to McDonald's. He doesn't even suggest non-veg. Yeah. The standard of materialistic in Vedic culture, the standard of materialistic enjoyment is ghee. Try some pakoras, ghee. Yeah. Or a rasgulla or something. They don't even mention the idea of non-veg. But beg, borrow, or steal and get ghee. While you're alive, enjoy yourself. Because when your body is burned into ashes, who can put it back together again? That's materialism. That's much better than Mayavada. To be honest and deny any supreme lord is honest, at least. It's hellish, but it's honest. But to pretend that you love God when you hate Him, that's pernicious. That's much worse. Better to be an honest enemy of God, then you can fight Him honestly on the battlefield and get slaughtered by Him. Face Him, stand up to Him face to face and tell Him, I don't believe in you, rather than pretend that you're a devotee. There are many, the Mayavadas, this is their basic program, to pretend that they're Vaishnavas. Or whatever, with the Vaishnavas, they're Vaishnavas. With the Shaivites, they're Shaivites. They're like chameleons. They will pretend to be whatever is popular, whatever is good publicity. Yes, politics, political, spiritual politics. Like a politician will pretend to be the friend of whoever's vote he wants. So the Mayavads are just out to get our votes, to steal our souls. I'm afraid it's like that. So we have to be very careful. There are people, many people posing as Vaishnavas, who are either hardcore Mayavadis, in which case they are the most dangerous, and we should have nothing to do with them. Or there are even more people who are not so demoniac that they've been influenced by these demoniac people. They may be sincere, but they're foolish and have let themselves be influenced, been tainted, their hearts have been tainted by Mayavada ideas. And that's almost everybody, including most of the Vaishnavas, who are not under the shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unfortunately. Yeah. Most of the, you can only be sure that what you're getting is pure devotional service, to be frank. According to the opinion of Krishnadas Kaviraj and many others, if you take shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Kali Yuga. Otherwise, this Mayavad and materialism and Sahajyaism, cheap ideas of devotional service, they're so prevalent that you can almost never be sure of getting the pure product. Just like go and try to buy ghee. What's your chances of getting pure cow ghee in India, for example? Only chance is if you have your own cow and you make your own ghee. Otherwise, what you buy will not be. I promise you, it will not be pure cow ghee. It may be part cow ghee. Even your Dynamix or whatever is not pure cow ghee.
I just watched my
page. And you can tell?
No, I don't know.
It's yellow, but, but
the best what's available.
It's the best available, but you can't, anyway, maybe it is. No way to be sure. If you're not dealing with a certified, honest follower of the program of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you cannot be sure. Maybe it's the real thing. Maybe. But you can't be sure that what you're getting is not tainted. And it's not just a danger of a little bit of buffalo ghee. This is the danger of being polluted by Mayavad ideas. Buffalo ghee won't kill you immediately. It may damage your brain. Yeah. But Mayavad will kill you. And will kill you repeatedly. Not even just once. It's spiritual suicide. So we have to be very careful who we associate with. I know this is very fanatic and radical, but this is the opinion of our acharyas. We have to be careful who we associate with. We're not as Hare Krishna, as exclusive, let's say, how do you say, xenophobic? As say the Shriva, the Balava Sampradaya, they don't want to associate with us, those Bengalis, or any other Sampradaya. They think that they're the only bona fide Vaishnavas, and everybody else, you shouldn't talk to them, you shouldn't look in their face. Pretty much like that. At least that's their theory. We're not that bad. You know, we can have relationships with other Vaishnavas. We can appreciate them as Vaishnavas. We can join them in kirtan, the Vaishnavas of other sampradayas. But you can never be sure that what they're practicing and what they're preaching is pure devotional service, unless it's got that stamp. You know, follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We cannot be sure. So we can associate, but we should not hear faithfully from those who are not certified representatives and proper representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unfortunately, there's also the upper sampradayas, identified by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. 13 groups that claim to be followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and are bogus. Upper sampradaya. The Bowls and the Owls and the Karpavaja and the Dharavishis and others. And these are not only found in Bengal. We're starting to cultivate these upper sampradayas even among our ISKCON devotees. You know, things are happening, you know, deviations are manifesting even among us Vidashis. You know, it's not just Bengali phenomena. These are tendencies that can appear anywhere. Deviations. So there, even those who pretend to be or think they are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you have to check and see whether they actually are faithful followers of the actual line. This sounds like dogmatism, I'm sorry. But this is a matter of protecting our own spiritual lives, our own devotional creatures. We have to be careful who we associate with in the sense of listening to. You can talk to them, any materialist, you can talk to Mayavadis. But we should be aiming to enlighten them, not to be enlightened or unenlightened by them. That, you know, as far as where we get our instructions should only be from the pure devotees. Anyone? What does he say at the end of one chapter? You should associate with your own group. What was that? What's that? Those words? Oh, yeah, it's a popular saying. Yeah. Sanyatiyasana, but there's a nice verse about that. You should take shelter of your own group. And in our case, it's true. You know, it's an important principle. We shouldn't go outside for our spiritual guidance and instruction. If we have given our allegiance to Mahaprabhu, then we have to be faithful. Otherwise, we're prostitutes. Spiritual prostitutes. Hare Krishna. Okay, any questions or comments?
With regard to the last point, that it seems like that when you mentioned these 13 episodes, well, for one thing, did Bhaktivinoda Thakur intend that some kind of ontological categorization, or is that just his observation of the social reality of his time? In other words, is that a relative truth or is it an
episode? Yeah, phenomenological. He was describing what was actually going on at that time, yeah. I don't know if these are eternal divisions. I think if he was thinking that to explain what the tendencies that can occur anywhere at any time, he probably would have made up different categories. You know, these are actual groups of people that he knew.
And at the same time, they do represent eternal
principles. Yeah, but I think you'd have to reanalyze, pick out the eternal principles.
And then secondly, is related to that, what is it actually that prevents a religious institution like Bodhi Mata or even ISKCON from degenerating into that kind of spiritual teaching and confusion? I mean, it seems like you know, if we say that you have to hear from shaking off your bona fide followers, and we imply that means only in ISKCON, then it seems like...
Do we? Okay, anyway. Yeah.
I think it's fair implication at any rate. But can it be there for us also, mediated in a way, and it seems to be a social...
Even if we don't go outside,
how
can we prevent from internal degradation? I think only by being guided by undeviatable devotees who are so firm that they're not going to deviate. We have to be guided by them. We have to hear from them, and they have to be the leaders. Now, what if we don't have any? If there aren't any around right at the moment, then we have to try to make some. We have our predecessors. I'm not saying we don't, but suppose in the future, okay? This is hypothetically in 500 years from now. Okay? There's nobody around who's reliable enough to really be an acharya. Then we have to go back to our, take the shiksha from our predecessor acharyas, even if they're not present. And from following Prabhupada's or his predecessor acharyas, following their instructions. Hopefully some of us will come up to a higher standard. I'm not saying that there aren't any pure undeviated devotees in this now, present, but it could be like that in the future. The times when the effective times when things get worse.
And another way of this answer, there's this principle that yadayadahi Krishna says whenever there's a need, then I either come myself or I send a representative.
Yes.
But it seems as if I remember when I first joined ISKCON, I had a similar question. I asked, well, what if there's nobody there? And the answer was given to me that, well, Krishna will always arrange for someone to be there who is qualified.
Or send somebody.
Sorry?
Or send somebody.
To
pray for the Messiah.
Well, you see, because then if, unless we accept that principle, then we leave ourselves open to the richer proposition, which is that nobody's qualified enough for you to just make complete shelter to Prabhupada and not looking at anybody else.
But isn't that less faith than Prabhupada? We can't have faith that Prabhupada can make his disciples pure, can empower his disciples. Even if you think that none of them is empowered now, you don't think Prabhupada's mercy is still descending, and that he can further empower the disciples he has empowered? I think we should see that Prabhupada is empowering his disciples, even if they're not completely empowered yet. The empowerment, the symptoms of empowerment are there. Even if there's imperfection in the individuals, they're being empowered, and that's why they should be respected and listened to. Perfect or not perfect, they're on the way to becoming perfect. And it's Prabhupada's empowerment. And that's the empowerment of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu coming through all the great devotees of the Sampradaya, through Prabhupada. That divine mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is descending. And it's empowering individuals. That we have to acknowledge that and take that seriously. And that process continues. The process may not be complete. The full mercy may not have, Krishna may not be 100% pristine yet. But the process is dynamic. It's still the mercy is still descending. And it has to be one has to acquire the mercy gradually. Usually, in most cases, anyway.
They're
trying. That means they're sadhakas. They're not perfect yet, but they're trying very hard. And Krishna gives them intelligence, so they don't deviate. That's a bona fide guru. If he won't deviate, then he's bona fide. Not that he can walk through walls. Or zap you on the head and give you prema, but the electric jolt. No, but then he doesn't deviate, and he won't.
Finally, I have a question. You were mentioning materialism, mayavad, and sahajya as three major groups of the narcissistic attack.
Yes.
The Vaishnava people. So it's pretty easy to see that. Sense gratification that falls into the karmic realm, and mayavad falls into the jnana realm. But where does sahajya come from?
It's mixed. I think they're all mixed. I mean,
a Mayavada is not just interesting. The real Mayavadis, the real life Mayavadis, usually find them, they've got some interest in sense gratification too. They like to collect disciples and money. And sometimes they're doing worse things than that. Yeah, so it's not like they're free from all tendency for bhakti loss. And Sahajism is a mix. There's some devotion there, but there's also desire for sense gratification or for liberation or both. It's a complete, incompatible mix, but it's there. And sometimes someone can be totally mixed of all three tendencies mixed up.
And every materialist, all these other things, they have some degree of bhakti and jnana.
Yeah, yeah. They can have a lot of jnana. But it's polluted. Contaminated. One grain of sand in your sweet rice ruins it. Yeah.
You should live in a high standard is Mayavadi.
Yes?
Live in a high standard. Living high standard living is a Mayavadi.
Why?
It is not.
You mean to live opulent, fancy, luxurious life?
Is that Mayavadi?
To live too luxuriously? No, that's materialism. That's simple materialism.
So who performs this Mayavadi? And why he? What are the aim and object of this Mayavadi?
The objective is liberation, mukti. But the idea of the mukti is impersonal, that you merge into God, you become God. So, there must be some mumuksha, some desire for liberation. Otherwise, what do you need this Mayavad for? Personally interested in Mayavad are people who are interested in mukti. If you don't want mukti, you just want to enjoy, you want to be rich and comfortable, that's just vishayi. And that's much better. The Mayavad, the one who is Mayavadi is worse. The vishayi, we can save him. The Mayavadi is very hard to save.
Don't you think that Chakrabart wants that pay ghee on loan and all that?
Yeah.
Just to keep his body okay, so that he may remember the law.
Who?
Chakrabart says that pay ghee.
Chara.
No, but he was an atheist. He believed in no God. He said, we don't believe in Shabda Brahman. We don't believe in Anuman. Just Pratyaksha. So you fool. You only believe in projection, what you see with your eyes. You don't believe any shastra. You don't believe any logic. How do you know that your wife is pregnant with somebody, some other man? You're so angry. Your wife is pregnant. You think someone made her pregnant. You have no evidence by your projection. You didn't see directly. And you're pretending you think you're going to know some anuman. You don't accept anuman. This is Bhavadev Vidyabhusan teasing the Charabhaka. Why are you mad your wife is pregnant with some other man? How do you know that? You only believe in Pratyaksha. That's atheist. He's just atheist. Yeah? He's famous atheist, materialist. Better to be a materialist, honest materialist. You know, then he's a fool. But he's not a demon, he's just a stupid fool. Yeah? Materialist. Then the Maya will kick him in the head. His wife and children will kick him out of the door when he gets old. And then he'll learn his lesson. But the Maya body will not, very hard to ever learn.
Even at home, nobody's going to ask you how are you doing, or
yeah. But in my mind, is the family kicks him out and says, okay, I'll go to Vrindavan and beg for my body, it's fine.
You think sometimes you see in the Kapha Sampradaya, then this is the thing to do with the society of women.
We got our own peculiar upper sampradayas, like the Yudhiks and the this and that, and probably the current link, other things like that. These are upper sampradayas. Devotees, we have Hare Krishna. We don't have so much organized sahaja movements. It's mostly crazy individuals, who think that they're too proud to listen to anybody. But they're directly communicating with Srimati Radharani and getting her mercy directly without giving respect to any other Vaishnava. Can't listen to anybody. And somehow they've got the mercy of Srimati Radharani and are perfect.
this is Sahaja. We do have crazy individuals like that. You know. We don't have so much, you know, nobody's organized actual, I don't think, Sahaja Sampradaya at this time yet. But it's, you know, we got the individual. It just matters, all we need is a leader to collect them, you know, the Sahajas together. We don't have a regular upper Sampradaya. We can try to stop that from happening. But I think it'll take some psychotherapy because we've got some crazy individuals. Huh?
Actually,
this ultimate stuff is a manifestation of an unhealthy psyche. Yes. More than
a philosophical mediation
or
emotional.
But I think the disease begins with incurable pride. That I know more than everybody else. And then you start going crazy.
That's a sign of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, please.
You have mentioned Abu Sampradaya's vows,
yes.
Do those names indicate something or mean in Bengali or what?
Yeah, yeah, well, they're particular. I guess most of these groups gave themselves these names. They're the names they're properly known by. And they are particular groups of deviant groups that claim. The reason why they're on this list, because you can count thousands of deviant groups in Bengal, but these are the ones that claim to be devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then you got others that don't, you know, claim to be devotees, Shaktas and communists and Buddhists and everything else. Now, almost all these crazy ideas came out of Bengal. Tibetan Buddhism was actually, you know, created in Bengal. But these are the 13 groups that Bhaktivinoda Thakur identified as, you know, unauthentic claims to be representatives of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Actual groups of people. And I think that most of them are still around to some degree. You can still find members of those groups in that group. Mixed up.
Yeah. Okay. Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't explain do those names indicate, do they have meanings in Bengali? Or
you mean the meanings of the terms?
Or just to know, like, I create the organization, if I give a name, just. Yes, there is something behind that name.
Well,
International Society for Krishna.
Yes, yes.
International Society for Transportation.
I don't know. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has some purports in Chaitanya Charitamrita where he discusses the groups. I don't know if he goes into the etymology, because the groups themselves created their names. It has what to do with what they think they are. Suvartamaraj published.
Saki, thank
you. Yeah, you can understand what it is, just as I put it. Yeah, it's a Saki.
Yeah,
because they're actually some sort of Sufi group that claimed to be the one who takes any harm to it.
Bhatu, I think. Bhatu comes from Bhatu.
Yeah, yeah, but Bhatu means crazy man. But they call themselves, because they're divine madmen. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote a book, a collection of songs called Bal Sangeet, where he, I guess he uses the Bal musical style for the songs.
The music and the poetry to address these very evil and chastisements
Yeah, yeah.
in the manner of Chaitavani that they often use themselves.
They mourning.
Admonition, kind of, you know,
so he just turns it back to on them.
Like Hadir also. Okay.
So it's a style, a vowel style that actually addressed again to them.
Socio spiritual criticism.
And I think Suhotamaraj, I have on my computer something from him describing the Sampradayas. There were even articles in Bhakti Godhead some years ago. He wrote those, about the different upper Sampradayas. You can see in Keshe Prabhupada's collection of Bhakti Godhead. Do we have Bhakti Godhead in folio one?
In the newest one.
The newest one?
Yeah.
Audio, also that Jizamati Chishti, which is Audio.
Because
they're all mixed up with that. Well, these may be the Sufi terms, I don't know.
Okay.
But a lot of these groups are mixed up with Sufi.
Yeah, so I mean, we're not criticizing them as Sufis. We're criticizing as Sufis who claim to be devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
No, I don't know.
Yeah, the derivation, maybe maybe some of the owls also. I mean, you know,
they definitely there.
They got some Muslim influence, yeah. Anyway, we can accept Muslims into our sanctuary, but they shouldn't be deviant. Okay. Thank you, Al Gore, Shiva Palva, Shima Bhavata.